Students from 8 universities are spending the next year working on new technology projects for deep space exploration. The X-HAB Academic Innovation Challenge, that's X-H-A-B, led by NASA and the National Space Grant Foundation, has teams working on additive manufacturing, advanced life support systems, space habitation, and systems for food production in space. Jason Kruzan is the director of the Advanced Exploration Systems Division at NASA, and he joins me now. Mr. Kruzan, great to have you on.
Great to be here.
All right. It sounds like when it comes to deep space exploration, I guess we're talking mainly about Mars. There's a lot yet to be invented. Is that the case?
Yeah, there's many, many challenges as we send humans into deep space and onto Mars.
All right. So tell us about the X-HAB Academic Innovation Challenge. How does it work and how will it solve some of those problems?
Yeah, so as we're going about actually figuring out all the technology and capabilities to sustain life off the planet on a long trip to Mars and once we get there and then to get back home safely, we want to look for the brightest ideas and innovative ideas from a wide set of folks, not just our folks at NASA and our contractor community, but also our bright and rising stars in the academic community as well.
And so what are some of the challenges they're working on? What are the biggest issues that they face?
Yeah, so one of our biggest challenges is the long trip there, the habitation, the house that the people live in on the transit to and from Mars. That's going to be on the order of months, 6 to 9 months of transit. So one of the things we asked the students to look at is new ways to design that transit habitat, the habitation, the place that people will live, not just physically design it, although that's important as well, but also how do you design something that allows the crew members to live in an environment, a very contained environment for a long period of time and minimize things like psychological and behavioral effects of living in that confined space over that period of time?
I guess it would be the equivalent of a closet in the space station.
Yeah, it's considerably larger than that. So, I mean, it is a very confined space for them and their crew members on the transit. So one of the schools, Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York, is a design school, and they're very design centric in how they lay out things in a very in a human friendly way. And we're really excited to see their approach to doing this. And this is the first time that school has actually worked on anything related to a space habitation design or anything for space, in fact.
So briefly describe what they've come up with.
Yeah, so they actually will take their design-centric kind of engineering processes they use in architecture and consumer product design type work they have. So they think about human factors, things that are friendly for you. They'll actually lay out the inside of the habitation, the entire habitation for us, things like where do we store all the commodities that we need, all the consumable things, the food and such and repair parts you have. And how you maximize the place where you actually live and work every day in a very human-friendly way.
So this is going to sit atop, I guess, has to be carried into space by something on the order of a Saturn V rocket or equivalent, correct? So how big or an area are they talking about?
Yeah, so we're actually already underway building our very large rocket called the SLS, the Space Launch System. In fact, its first flights will be coming up in 2018. That rocket will be able to lift more than the Saturn V, and it's important to have that to lift things like this habitat. We think about things in cubic meters, which is a kind of an odd measurement, but we look at 200 cubic meters or so. If you think about the capsules from Apollo, they were about on the order of 10 to 15 cubic meters. And we're talking something that's about 10 times the size of that, if not 15 times the size of that. Of the capsules that you've seen in museums today. But it won't look like a capsule. It'll look more like one of the elements of the space station, a very large cylindrical type objects. It may be rigid, metallic like the ones we have on the space station, or it could be even soft goods. Some inflatable technology is also very promising in increasing the volume that the crew would have to live with on the transit as well.
And so how many people are envisioned to go up at once?
For all of our mission designs for Mars, we look at 4 people, and that's just a recognition that of the complexity of all the tasks that need to be done when doing really good science when we get there. Also, this is going to be an international endeavor, so it's not just Americans going, but our international partners potentially, and we want to maximize that the participation on a mission to Mars.
And I guess if there's 4 people rather than 3, you can't have like triangulation as a corrosive psychological activity.
Yeah, we're laughing a little bit about it, but it actually, there is some, there's legitimate science behind some of that as well.
All right, so you have 8 colleges working on this. How is this all organized? Do you have different ones working on different projects, or how do you organize it?
Yeah, so we worked with the National Space Grant Foundation, which has a nationwide network of all the universities, and in fact, all 50 states. We put out a call to those universities, and we put out kind of challenge topic areas. The 4 that we ended up selecting awards within were in-space manufacturing. So in-space manufacturing to us is how do we make the repair parts on our way there? So think 3D printers, but even next-generation 3D printers that can print metal and such. And in fact, that's one of the awards we did. The habitation that I was talking about, the actual habitation layout, our life support systems, the things that recycle water, produce the air and clean the air and monitor that life support is another area, and then what we call space and life sciences as well is a 4th area that we awarded in.
And what about food and the production of food in space? Is that something that's part of this?
Yeah, so in previous awards, last year we actually just finished up 5 awards we had last year, and a couple of those we actually had deployable greenhouses. So how would we produce food for actual consumption and such, and then we did that last year. Again, this year we had an additional award to the Ohio State University in Columbus, and they are building upon a platform that we call Veggie. It's a vegetable production unit, and in fact, we have one on the space station that we're growing crops today. But they are looking at optimizing the water system. So it's a very, very advanced kind of hydroponic system. But water doesn't move in the same way in space as it does down here. So they are looking at a better way to regulate the pressure and manipulate and move that water in order to maximize the water transport onto the plant's roots, just like you'd have in a traditional hydroponic system. But in this case, we don't have any gravity. So they are looking at the way to move that water around more efficiently.
So it sounds like you're building some sort of a space chia pet here.
Yeah, hopefully a little more tasty than that, though.
Yeah, well, not just grass to eat up there.
Yeah.
All right, so what is the... Okay, we're speaking with Jason Kruzan, by the way. He's director of the Advanced Exploration Systems Division at NASA. And so how are these turned into products, and what kind of royalties or payments do the colleges or the developers get after the program is over?
Yeah, so over the course of the year, these are relatively small grants for the students on the order of $15,000 to $30,000, depending on which of the awards they have. We go through a normal design process with them, what we call preliminary design reviews and critical design reviews and what we call system definitions reviews. These reviews are setting up what does it need to do and how does it need to do it. That's kind of our system definition review. Preliminary design is their first cut at the design. Is it something that will actually work? And then once they pass the preliminary design, then they move on to what we call critical design, which is at the point that they actually start making the hardware. So that will happen over the course of the next school year. At the very beginning of the school year, they'll start with that design system definition review I talked about. Before the Thanksgiving holiday, they'll move on to their preliminary design, and then right after coming back from the break over the holidays, then they'll go into kind of the beginning of the spring semester, and that's when they'll actually be building the hardware as well.
And you mentioned that the first test launch of the launch vehicle itself, the system to take all of this into space, is not until 2018, so presumably it's going to be 2020, 21 or so before people actually launch toward Mars, I guess if we're lucky. And so what is the process by which you'll refresh the design over the next 10 years? Because you really don't want to freeze it now if there's room for improvement between now and the time you actually use it.
Correct, yeah. So there's a lot of systems that we need to actually send people out into space and live into space. I mean, in fact, even when you launch them, you'll want to test them in space for a period of time. We're doing some of that on board the space station today. And we're able to test a lot of those systems in the environment, because a lot of things that you think that you've designed for space and will work just fine, when you get it up there, it has its own nuances and such, and you learn from that. We see these as kind of iterative design cycles. So over time, we introduce new technology. So I was explaining the vegetable production unit. That design's been around for a couple of years, but we keep on advancing it with latest and greatest technology through universities and through our internal efforts. And we'll continue doing that until the point in which we are ready to go fly a habitation system, and then we'll actually launch it at that point. So you're exactly right. We don't lock in our design years ahead of time. We just continue to advance it until we are pretty confident of it. It may do some test flights on the International Space Station ahead of time, depending on the system. And then when we actually go out to Mars, then we'll fly the final version.
And a final question. Is part of this developing new kinds of tests to find out the right kind of person to be able to endure this sort of work without ending up murdering, you know, the colleagues up there in space?
So, yeah, we don't have any of the awards in this case looking at the psychological effects and crew interaction and such. But what we are doing is actually developing the next generation engineers and scientists that would be able to build these systems coming out of school. We have the students part of their core of not just inventing the technology and those kind of breakthroughs is obviously advancing their degrees and their understanding, and then they'll be very productive members of our engineering and scientific community, and some of which may become our actual crew members that would go on these missions.
All right. Jason Kruzan is the Director of Advanced Exploration Systems Division at NASA. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.